You're listening to the ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
We're intrigued by angels, though, aren't we? There's something in us that says, well, I want to know a little bit more about angels, but I don't know if I want to know too much about angels. We, a lot of times, can only believe in the things that we see. And so when we talk about things in the spiritual realm, we get a little bit nervous because we think, well, I'm not sure about that. What does that mean? So we begin to think about angels and we begin to make up things about angels and we end up with a theology that's really not the Bible's view on angels or the Bible's words on angels. But we're intrigued by angels. Billy Graham in 1975, he wrote a book entitled Angels. It was released in October, and it sold 810,000 copies by the end of that year. So just October to December. By the end of January, it had sold 1 million copies. It was the first book to sell 1 million copies in that short of time. And it was a book on angels, because we're intrigued by angels. So I want you and I to talk about today, angels, because they're characters of Christmas. We'll get in just a moment. If you got your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we're going to look and see about angels. Well, what is it when you think about angels? Because angels are something all throughout the Bible. Do you know that angels, when you really take it down, what does an angel mean? What does that word mean? It's a messenger. Very simply, angels are messengers. Now, in the Bible, an angel is either a messenger of God or it's a messenger of Satan. There was a third of the angels that fell with Satan. If you wanted to read more about the fall of Satan, I point you to Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Those two passages of scripture will give you about Satan's fall. But we're going to look at and talk about the good angels, so to speak, God's angels, not demons and all of that, but the good. So angels are messenger. That word means messenger. They declare the messages of God. God can do anything that he wants, any way that he wants. He can declare things any way he wants. But he uses, at different time periods, he uses angels to declare a message. It was an inscription on an old church in Scotland, and it said this: though God's power be sufficient to govern us, yet for man's infirmity he has appointed angels to watch over us. Though it is God's power to be sufficient to govern us. God doesn't need anyone, anything. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need angels. God is self-sufficient, all in his own. But he chooses to have us. He chooses to have angels. And angels are messengers. Angels are messengers. See, angels, when you look throughout the Bible, angels are biblical. It's not something that just came up. It's angels being biblical. We didn't just make it up out of the sky. Do you know that in 34 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation is mentioning angels? In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they're mentioned over 100 times. In the New Testament, they're mentioned 165 times. If you got your listening guide out, just put those in there, right there in that spot. They're mentioned over 100 times and over 165 times in the New Testament, over 100 times in the Old Testament. Now, just so you know, anytime something is mentioned in the Bible, if it's just mentioned once, it's true. It doesn't have to be mentioned 100 times to be true. If it's mentioned one time, it's true. The Bible is true. But when we see something mentioned numerous, numerous times and on in all different books in the Old Testament and the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelation, at that point, we can say, now, okay, here's something that God's really trying to get across to us. So it is biblical to have angels. It's not sci-fi. Hollywood didn't come up with it. It's not something that's just weird out there in outer space. It is a biblical thought to be able to have angels. Christ himself referenced angels. Said that angels attended to him in the wilderness. They ministered to him. He saw angels as being real beings. Now, what do you think about when you think about angels, though? I mean, what comes to your mind? Is it what comes to your mind, a small little chubby baby? Is that what comes to your mind? When we have angels, do we have a small little chubby baby that comes to our mind? Oftentimes in these type of pictures, they're very feminine, but do you know that it's always used in the Bible? It's always used masculine, talking about angels. Or when you think about angels, maybe some of you think about, well, you know what? I don't think about way back when. I think about kind of the 70s, and I think about three really good-looking gals. Some guy named Charlie, Jacqueline Smith, and Farrah Fawcett, and Kate. I can't remember her last name right now. But Charlie's Angels, then Farrah Fawcett left and Cheryl Ladd came. I have to admit this to you. As a little guy, I was in love with Cheryl Ladd. I had a picture of her on my door, on my room, and I just thought, oh, wow, if my name was Charlie, that'd be great. Here it is, these three beautiful action stars. They've even made a recurrence now for the next generations that now they're back as Charlie's Angels. Is that what you think about? Or maybe the sports fans. No, you think about the Anaheim Angels. That's who comes to mind for you. It's not wings, it's baseball. It's the rally monkey that they have in the outfield that they put up on the Diamond Vision they go crazy about. It's the California Angels. Or maybe some people think, well, you know, I knew angels were usually referred to in the masculine, so I think about good old Michael Landon, Highway to Heaven. He was the angel in Little House on the Prairie, and he was the angel in the sense of at Highway to Heaven, he was really an angel. What do you think about when you think about angels? Do you think about biblical? Do you think about the power that they have? See, angels, God gives them at an incredible place. When we see them, when they really get moving, when you see a lot of them, it's usually at a very pivotal time in history. In the spiritual or biblical history, when you see angels being unusually active, that means something big is about to happen. See, they're messengers. And they're all throughout the Bible. But when you usually see these messengers, God uses angels to usher in new periods of time and to make big announcements. God uses angels to usher in new periods of time and to make big announcements. Let me give you just a few things that he kind of used angels for. In Job chapter 38, verses 6 and 7. Which Job is actually the oldest book of the Bible. Now, Genesis talks about the first days of creation, but Job is, by documentation, the oldest book of the Bible. And this is what it says, that the angels were a part of creation. On what were its footing set, and who laid its cornerstone? Talking about creation. While the morning stars sang together, all the angels shouted for joy. So the angels were right there in creation. When the law was given to Moses... When the law was given to Moses, at that place, the angels were there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of the transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred to had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. Hebrews 2, verse 2. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. On it goes. So creation, angels were there. The giving of the Mosaic Law, angels were there. Those are big changes of time. Here's creation. Now here's Moses with the law. Christmas, the angels are there. The angels are declaring to shepherds. The angels are declaring to John's mother, Elizabeth, we'll see in a few moments, and to Mary, we'll see as well. In that next wave, wham, we've got a whole lot of angelic activity. Jesus, throughout his life, ministered to by the angels in the wilderness. When he hung on the cross, he said, if I could call down right now, I could call down 12 legions of angels. That means a legion was 6,000. 12 times 6,000 is 72,000. I could call down 72,000 angels at this moment. So through the life of Christ, at the tomb, when they came and Jesus had been resurrected, an angel was there at the tomb who rolled the stone away. An angel rolled the stone away. So in these significant changes, creation, the law given, Christ coming in Christmas, Christ dying on the cross, Christ rising from the dead, Christ returning from the dead, or returning again. But before that, we get the early church, the book of Acts. We talked about the book of Acts as we were declaring that we're a relevant biblical community. Why? Because the book of Acts declares that. Not because I went to some conference and came up with something, but because that's what the book of Acts was. They were relevant in the book of Acts. They weren't irrelevant. Do you know as soon as the church becomes irrelevant, the culture becomes irreverent? And sometimes we get upset about the irreverence of the culture. Well, it's because they see Christ in the church as irrelevant. Irrelevant always precedes irreverent. And so in the book of Acts, there was angels all throughout the book of Acts. Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision, and distinctly he saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Verse 7, same chapter, when the angel spoke to him and gone, Cornelius called two of his servants together. Peter himself said that, I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches. All throughout the book of Acts, the early church is a significant period. So we have these messengers, these heavenly messengers. They come, at certain times you see more activity of the angels. And it's when there's a time change of the era. Creation, Mosaic law, Christmas, the early church, and when Jesus Christ comes again. Do you know we celebrate Christmas, but as we celebrate Christmas, we could think about Jesus is going to return. He's going to come again, and it won't be in a manger. It'll be on a white stallion. It'll be him coming to take over. It's him coming to redeem this world and to bring us a new heaven and new earth and to take those who believe in Christ to heaven with him. Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel with a trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. At the second coming of Christ, there will be angels all over. That's interesting. When you have an announcement or you have a gift, presentation is important, isn't it? I've learned in marriage that presentation is often more important than the gift. If you just have the gift and you just say, yeah, I put something over there, it's over on the kitchen table, I think you'll like it. That gift better be really, really, really good. But if you go to your wife and you say, you know what? I went down to the store. I got in a whole lot of traffic. And I had to wait in line a long time. And it cost more money, but you're worth it, honey. You're worth everything. And then I wrapped it myself and I put this beautiful bow on it. And I want to give you this gift because I love you and you are the best gift God has ever given me. She can open that up and it can be a ball of wax. And if you got a good story, while a ball of wax means you love her, it will be far better than anything else. Because a presentation is very important. We wrap gifts. Today I was walking around this morning in the lobby area with a beautiful tree and some folks remarked, look at those gifts. They're beautiful. But I hate to tell us all this, but they're empty boxes that we wrapped this week. But they're beautiful. The presentation is amazing. But do you know what is great about the things that we're talking about? God brings great gifts and great presentation. He brings amazing things, but he gives them with the presentation of angels. That's better than a bow. That's better than foil wrapping paper. That's better than a neon sign. Anything else we do at Christmas to try to compare always dims in comparison to angels. And they came with great presentation. God uses angels to usher in different time periods. He uses angels for different significant announcements. He announced the birth of Isaac, the birth of Samson, the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, the resurrection, the second coming, and judgment, all with angels. Now let's look in Luke chapter 1, two verses, two different spots, and then we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2. Now that you've got this in your mind, I wanted to give us a good introduction so that when we look at this, we know what we're talking about. Luke chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. An important announcement. This is angel, and he's coming to announce to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and this is what he says, verse 19. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. He's announcing something. He's a messenger. Something's about to change. John the Baptist is going to be born that's going to announce then Christ. Verse 20. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe the words which will come true at their proper time. Now go down to verse 26. Let's see another announcement. 26 through 28, 6 months later. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel's big on making announcements. To Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored of the Lord." Angels came and they announced that John the Baptist was going to be born. Miraculous birth. That Jesus was going to be born. Miraculous birth. The birth of Christ through a virgin, Mary. There was a huge announcement. It was Gabriel announcing. We only have two angels in the Bible that are mentioned by name. Michael and Gabriel. We don't have any other names of angels. So Michael is the archangel. He's the one that's mentioned as the archangel. So Michael's the boss. Gabriel's not the archangel. Okay, Michael is. So Michael appears to be the number one guy. Gabriel, in the presence of God here, the number two guy. And then we've got in Daniel, it talks about chief princes of angels. Then we've got cherubim, which are what Satan was, cherubim. And they worship the Lord and they praise God and all of that. And then seraphim. So that's kind of the little hierarchy that goes through. God has order, even to the angelic realms. So there must be order in heaven. Then there's sure got to be order here in the church. God's not going to have disorder on earth and order in heaven. And so Gabriel comes through. His name means hero of God. Isn't that a cool name? And he declares Jesus is coming. He's a hero of God. He declares it. Now let's look in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 16. We've seen it declared, and I'm going to get to this at the end as we wrap up, so don't forget this part. We've seen declared to the priest, who is Zechariah, that John was going to be born. And then we've seen declared to Mary, a peasant woman, that Jesus is going to be born. Now we're going to see to the shepherds that talking about declaring to them that the angels are declared that Jesus has been born. Now here we go. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news," again a messenger, "of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts, more angels, because remember what's happening? When the angels get active, something's about to change, very significant change. Suddenly, a great company of hosts, heavenly hosts, appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, that's where angels live, they go to heaven, they can come back and forth to earth, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They're messengers of the Lord, so they refer to the Lord. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. Angels' primary ministry. The primary ministry of angels is to praise God and to help his children. We talked about kind of what angels do in being messengers, that they usher in new time periods, that they make big announcements. They praise God and they help his children. Do you see that in that passage? The heavenly host of angels come together. They begin to sing out, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men on earth to whom his favor rests." Helping of the men on earth, peace and favor, but praising of God, glory to God in the highest. That's their two main focuses. They're not a sideshow. They're not just, "Well, hey, we need some type of let's do the angel thing." Yeah, okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And here they come. It's angels declaring a significant message in a time period change. And when they declare that, their primary ministry is praising God and helping his children. Revelation chapter 5, it talks about, "I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s upon 10,000s, encircling the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang," remember their ministry is to praise God, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Thousands upon 10,000s of angels. How many angels are there? I don't know. There's a bunch. The Greek word is bunch. Tons. A whole lot. There's all these angels and they're praising God. They're rejoicing in what he does. They're throwing parties in heaven when someone comes to Christ in salvation. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior here, if you were to come down front and to pray with me or go to our connection center or talk to somebody that brought you and pray and ask Jesus to forgive your sins and live in your heart so you could know you're going to heaven when you die, there will be a party in heaven that the angels will throw on your behalf to say, yes! They serve God. They're instruments of God's judgment. But angels also have a ministry to the church, to believers. They have a ministry. They minister to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. This is what it says. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? They minister to us. How does that work? What do they do? I mean, what do they really do? This morning, my little boy asked me what I was going to talk about today. I told him angels. He said, are there angels right now in the house? I said, yeah, there are. And I went to go get my bowl of cereal. I went, excuse me, pardon me. He looked, what? He looked at me and I said, yeah, let's get the football. He caught it. Look at that. Well, what do they really do? I mean, are they in the outfield helping the Astros? Not this year they weren't, but previous years, possibly. What's the deal? Here's what angels really do. Their primary ministry is to praise God. They worship him. They serve him. They rejoice in what he does. They're instruments of God. They're messengers of God. For the church, they observe what Christians are doing. They're observing. They're watching. A small church pastor was spending all this time on his message one night, and he was just preparing and preparing and preparing all throughout the week, all throughout the time, just praying and asking God to use it. And his wife came to him and said, honey, you've been working on that so long. Our church isn't that big. There's not going to be that many people there. And he said, oh, honey, if you knew that the angels would be pulling up, the great cloud of heavenly witnesses, it's going to be packed tomorrow. They observe what we do. How much does that change our secret sins? To know that you're not alone when you're just clicking around on that computer. You're not alone when you're brewing with that anger in your heart. You're not alone when you're surfing around on that TV. There's angels in the great cloud of heavenly witnesses that are there. So what do they do for us? They observe 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. It seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. That was a kind of a Roman phrase. Then we have been made spectacles to the whole universe and to angels as well as men. They also encourage us in times of danger. When times are tough, they encourage us. Acts 27, verse 23. Last night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. They encourage us in tough times. They're present at the death and care for the righteous. They're present at the death and they care for the righteous. It says in Luke chapter 16, verse 22, and the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. But it says that they attend to the righteous, to carry us to the side of the Lord. Isn't that a great, great word? Every one of us is going to die. And those that know Christ as Savior, those angels will be right there with you. Right there with you. Guardian angels. Is that real? Or we just make that up? Is that true? Well, you know what? It is. It is true. We do have guardian angels. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 says this, see that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. Acts 23 or 27 that I read a moment ago last night, an angel of the Lord, whose I am, Paul says. So it says in that Matthew passage, chapter 18, verse 10, that there's angels there with the little kids. Now, here's the thing. I'm just going to go ahead and go on a theological limb. I hope they don't leave us when we turn 13 and it's not just for the kids. Or we're like, let's don't do that. But there's angels that go with us that are there to help, guardian angels to help us. It's not just some little cute little chubby baby. It's not Charlie's angels. It's not Clarence trying to get his wings. And it's a wonderful life. You know where that phrase comes from historically? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. This is when in the Middle Ages they were trying to raise money to build the churches, the great churches you see when you go around, you see these big, huge Gothic type things. And they would say, every time the coffer clings, a soul from purgatory springs. How can you sit there when your poor mom's in purgatory? Don't you need to give? Now, first thing, there is no purgatory. Second thing, your money's not going to spring anybody from heaven. Third thing, notice that I didn't use that phrase through the capital campaign. Did you notice that? So guardian angels aren't just something cutesy over here. God can use them in a great way. There's an order to them. There's a bunch of them. Now, let me just say something as we go along. People don't turn into angels. Sometimes we say things like this. Oh, so-and-so died, and I bet it's because God needed one more angel in heaven. No, that's not what happens. People don't die and turn into angels. Now, when a believer in Christ dies, they do have a glorified body, a resurrected body. We can look at the Savior, Christ's body, what his body was like after resurrection. It was very real, but it wasn't limited in the same ways that our physical body is limited. Now, that's a sermon for another day. But we don't end up in heaven as angels. You're not going to get wings when you get to heaven and fly around like an angel. Angels don't procreate. You don't have mommy angel, daddy angel, and then have little boy angel. There's no pregnant angels in heaven about to have kids. God has created the number. That's the number. That's the deal. And there's an order to them, and people don't become angels. My favorite Christmas ornament, isn't it fun when you're unboxing Christmas ornaments? You go, oh, I remember that one. You know my favorite one when I was a kid? I'm a native Houstonian. I grew up on the Oilers, Bum Phillips. We're going to kick the door in. I mean, you know, the whole thing. A few weeks ago, I met Dan Pastorini around town in Houston. I was like, wow, you're the quarterback. Way to go. So my favorite ornament when I was a little kid was this. It was Earl Campbell as an angel. You see it? He's got his little number one, his little Oiler helmet. That's my favorite Christmas ornament there. I had it on our tree, and then we just found it. And so we put it back up on the tree. I know it's not theologically sound, but neither are all your Christmas ornaments either, okay? Well, I don't think that well, you know, find me a nutcracker somewhere in here, okay? It's okay. So we got little Earl up here, but you know what? Earl was a great ball player, but he's not going to go up and all of a sudden, you know, become an angel up in heaven. So people don't become angels. Angels and people are two different species, two different creations. And so angels help us. They minister to us. They love us. Again, Hebrews 1:14, aren't all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The angels appear to be a little bit more shy now. But that's because we're not in this big change of time. Remember how we started looking at when angels get incredibly active? It's when there's a change in the time periods. In the second coming of Christ, we're a day closer today than we were yesterday. People sometimes ask, do you think we're closer to Jesus coming back than we used to be? Yes, I do. I can make that statement. I sure do. When Jesus returns, angels will be with him, and it's going to be like, whoa! But it's not going to be cute little chubby babies. It's going to be power. It's going to be announcement. It's going to be glory. Do you see what happened with the shepherds? The shepherds, they shone around about them. The Shekinah glory of the Lord is what it is. The light of the Lord. And whenever people see an angel biblically, this is what the angel says next. Bible trivia for you. Here's your answer. What does an angel always say? An angel always says, do not be afraid. They don't say, hey, man, what's up? The people don't say, well, wow, well, come and sit down and talk to me. Tongues of angels, they always speak in a tongue that's understood by the people that are listening to them. They speak and they scare people to death because they're so brilliant and they're so glorious and they're a messenger of heaven and from heaven comes down to earth and they have to tell the people, do not be afraid. Don't, hey, get back up. Get back. I got some great news. I'm a messenger, and you're not going to believe what's about to happen. You're not going to believe it. They always say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know what the Christmas angel activity means for us? Christmas means all are invited to Christ. Peasants, priests, shepherds and us. The angels, they declared who? To priests, to Zechariah in Jerusalem, in there praying and saying, God, and they appeared to him as a priest. Amazing. But then they also, 6 months later, appeared to Mary, a sweet girl, a teenage girl, a peasant girl in Nazareth. That they got to tell us where Nazareth is because it was such a dot on the map. And they appear to her, peasant girl. I said, do not be afraid. No, don't be afraid. I got great news. God's favor rests on you. Then they go to the shepherds and they appear to the shepherds. Shepherds were dirty, lowly people. And they appear to them and they say, come. And it's a beckoning and a message. Hear it. I'm going to put the talk into one little nugget right here. The message of Christmas is declaring it's for everyone. Priest, peasant, shepherd, and you and me. You and me. Christmas is for every person. It's not about just stuff and pretties. It's about an invitation to know a Savior. Do you know how people responded to angels? The appropriate response to angels is to fear and then follow the directive. Fear, but then follow the directive today. Today. That they would say, today a Savior has been born to you in the town of David. Then in verse 15, when the angels left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. They didn't say, let's have a committee meeting about it. Let's wonder about it. Let's get some other people together and get some wisdom about it. Let's decide about it. Let's see if we just weren't, maybe the campfire just got too hot that night and we didn't really see an angel. They said, let's go today. Let's go today. And God's declaring the same thing to us today. He's saying to people that don't know Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. The greatest present you could ever receive on Christmas is the present of Christmas itself. Not just all the frills that go around it, but Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, died on a cross, rose again. Interesting bookends for a king, wouldn't you say? Born in a stable, buried in a borrowed tomb. But he's the Savior of the world. If you don't know that you know that you know, you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. All of us have done things wrong. To forgive your sins, you can pray today. Today. I'm a messenger of the gospel. I'm not an angel, but I'm declaring the message to you. Today, you can ask Jesus to be your Savior and wash you clean. And you'll be assured of heaven when you die. And help here on this earth. For those of us that know Jesus Christ, today we need to take another step in our walk with Christ. See, we'll never grow in Christ until we decide each day to be obedient. And we decide each day to spend time with God. If you're not growing in your walk with Christ and you've just been kind of lollygagging along, I just ask you this. Have you decided that you're going to be obedient when that sarcastic word comes out of your mouth, when that mean-spirited comment comes out, when you hear it with your own ears and God convicts your heart? Do you say, today, I'm not doing that anymore? When there's selfishness, when there's sin, do you say, you know what, today, in the power of God, in the strength of angels ministering to me, today I'm not doing that anymore. I'm walking in his power. Do you say, today I'm going to spend time with God? If we don't decide to be obedient and we don't spend time with God daily, you will never grow in Christ. You can show up here every week, but you'll never grow in Christ until there's a decision of obedience and there's a decision of devotion. Each day, spending time with Jesus. Gallery Furniture, famous in our city. What's their whole slogan? Today. It's not even a phrase. It's on billboards. It's on trucks. It's on the radio. It's on TV. Today. Do you know what God is declaring on the billboards of our lives? Today. Oh, I need to get over there and call so-and-so. Today. I need to love on such and such. Today. One day I'm really going to walk with God. Today. One day I'm going to give to the Capitol campaign. Confetti's falling today. God's angels come through, and it's better than any three pretty ladies. It's better than a football team. It's better than an angel in a movie. It's God's messengers shining brightly saying, hey, something's about to change. Y'all better hang on for the ride. Hang on for the ride. You know, there's angels right now in this room. Powerful, powerful. they showed themselves, we would fall on our face. And somebody be bumping me. I'd be laying right there and y'all be bumping me. Say, Pastor, get up and tell us what just happened. I'm scared to death. I'm not getting up till I hear, do not be afraid. I'm not moving. I'm staying down. God, it's powerful. For those who choose to get on their face without seeing, it's called faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we come and we thank you, Lord, that you powerfully move, that you're great and mighty. You do amazing things. Thank you, Lord, today you want to speak to our lives. Today you want us to see how wonderful you are. Thank you, God, that you're not just about presentation. We live in a shallow, superficial world. But you are about the gift. And your gifts are so good, they come with amazing presentation. Far more than we could ever have with a bow or lights in a tree. You shine with angels. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you that they minister to you in praising you. And thank you that they help us as your children. In Jesus' name, amen.